Welcome to Railfans. I'm Shane Segay. Join us as we discover Ottawa's O-Train, Toronto's Subway, and Montreal's Metro system together.
Joining me today is Helen Lee, who's the creator, executive producer, and co-host of the Next Stop podcast. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So let's start out by talking about yourself. You're very much a transit advocate, and you also have your podcast. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your Next Stop podcast?
So by day, I work in social services, but I've always had an interest in transit just because it's been my only way of getting around Toronto, where I grew up, since I was 12, I guess. I'm in my 30s now, so I've been a regular rider of TTC for over 20 years. And I guess a few years ago, I decided to get involved in local transit advocacy group here in Toronto called TTC Riders. It's where I met my friend and co-host of the Next Stop podcast, Vincent Puhaka. So that's where we connected and did a lot of good work. I decided to leave TTC Riders just because I wanted to focus my energies on something more creative. I had read about the transit advocacy group in Boston, Massachusetts, in the US. So they're talking about their work, but they also mentioned they had a podcast about transit, and I thought, is anyone in Toronto doing a podcast about transit? And the answer was no, at least not having transit as the focus. And so I thought, why don't I try starting a podcast? And so I asked Vincent if he wanted to come with me on this journey, and he said yes, and we've been on this fun ride ever since. We launched it in the spring of 2020, not shortly after pandemic lockdown. And yeah, we continued to work on it since.
We'll definitely put some links in our podcast description here for people interested in tuning into the Next Stop podcast, in which you have all sorts of great topics, especially of transit in Toronto and transportation. So thank you for sharing that with us. So today we're going to be talking about the Toronto streetcar system. Toronto, as a brief overview, operates a streetcar consisting of 9 lines, containing approximately 685 stops, and is about 83 kilometers in length. All of this combined makes it the third largest light rail transit system in North America. It's currently served by 204 Bombardier Flexity Outlook streetcars. And it's very much, you know, when you think of Toronto, you think of the subway, but you also think very much of the streetcar system, which is very emblematic and plies all the downtown core. So can you tell us a little about the streetcar system? What makes it really special, and how does it integrate into the transit system in Toronto?
Yeah, so I was happy when you had proposed this topic, just because I think Toronto streetcars are very much part of the city's fabric. I think of our transit system as kind of like the city's arteries. They're very much essential to the running of the city, and that so many people rely on the TTC to get to work, get to school, get to their appointments, but even just go out and see their city and just have fun in their city. So with our streetcars, we currently have 9 streetcar lines. Most of them cover the, I guess, downtown center of Toronto, but we do have one streetcar line that's a bit removed and would be considered, I guess, in the midtown area of Toronto. Well, that would be our St. Clair streetcar line. Our streetcar system is unique in that it's a major part of our transit system. In other cities that, you know, have streetcars that in some shape or form, they're considered more of a tourist attraction. You know, I think of places like New Orleans and San Francisco. Other cities that have streetcars may only have maybe 1 or 2 in the downtown area and only cover just like a downtown area, whereas our streetcars in Toronto, not only do they go through the city center, but they also extend beyond that into the neighborhoods outside of the downtown area, and like namely the residential neighborhoods, but for anyone who's taken the streetcars in Toronto, they would see that the like other neighborhoods have established themselves along these streetcar lines as well, right? So that would be what I would consider like the unique aspect of our streetcars. They are very much a part of our transit system. They are an essential part of our transit system. A lot of people rely on them as part of their daily commute. And they do cover a lot of area in that you can go a long way on the streetcar. You can go from one end to the other end of the city, depending on which streetcar line you take. And I think that's fairly unique to Toronto.
Now, when we look at the streetcar system, the last time I stayed in Toronto, I'm from the Ottawa Gatineau region, but the last time I stayed there, I stayed at the Hyatt off of King Street near the TIFF building. Mm-hmm, and yeah. All you do is when you look out the window, I mean, we kind of shopped around for rooms and found one that had a nice view of the CN Tower. But then you also look down to the street level and you see the streetcars going by like every 2 minutes, and it's such a unique feeling. You know, you just walk outside, streetcars going left, streetcars going right, lots of vibrancy, lots of activity around there. But when you take the streetcar and you reach like the central point of downtown Union Station, how it goes underground that Queens Quay and it loops around at Union Station, it just feels very... It's not just trains running on the surface of a street. It's so much more than that. You know, you look at Spadina, you look at the two stations downtown, including Union Station. I'm not sure how many others have a downtown or an underground connection to the subway or whatnot, but it's really neat how it transitions from above ground to below ground, the routings that it takes. How does the system integrate with the subway? How do you feel it integrates?
That's a great question, and appreciate how you shouted out the King streetcar, just because something I neglected to mention earlier is that Toronto actually kind of rebuilt and reconfigured some of its streets to accommodate the improved running of the streetcar lines. I think of Wild St. Clair being one of them, Spadina being the other, as they are the two streetcar lines that have their own dedicated right-of-ways on their respective streets. And then with the King streetcar, which you had, sounds like you had a great time just observing, a few years ago, the city had decided to implement what was called the King Street Priority Project. And so they actually reconfigured the stretch of King Street along like the downtown core area so that to eliminate, basically cars are not allowed to make right-hand turns on King where the priority is in effect, which enables the streetcar to be able to navigate and just go a lot faster. The King line used to be one of the more congested routes, but it's actually one of the most one of the routes in Toronto that's with the highest ridership. And so that's part of why the city decided to pursue the priority project. And, you know, the results were amazing. Ridership shot up. They actually reconfigured it to make it more bicycle friendly as well. And so they saw a lot more use from the cyclists. And so they decided to make it permanent. So that's my bit about the King Street Priority. In terms of how the streetcar integrates with the rest of the system. Yeah. So you mentioned how the streetcar does go into Union Station and goes underground to do that. So two lines do that. That would be our 509 Harbourfront and our 510 Spadina. The rest of the streetcars, basically, most of them start at a station and or end at a station. And so I would say our streetcars are pretty well integrated with the subways, stations. I think of the 504 King streetcar, which starts in the East End at Broadview Station, which is my home station, and its western terminal point is Dundas West Station, which is on the other end of the city, close to High Park, actually. So that's a really long distance. The other streetcar lines, I would say pretty similar, though some of them do start at, like, I guess more isolated residential areas. I think of, like, the Queen car, for example. But, you know, the other streetcars, I would say, are fairly well integrated with the subway stations, and it makes it easier for people to be able to just transfer from subway to streetcar or streetcar to subway and just be able to navigate the whole system without having to, I would say, think too hard about where you're supposed to transfer, whatever the heck. Yeah, I mean, one of the things I'm really proud of is how well integrated our system is between the different modes, not only streetcars and subways, but also the buses as well. And obviously the streetcars, because of their length, they also pass through, like, kind of other streets where there are buses running. And so, again, lots of points of connection, and so very well integrated, and it all just works. So
previously the TTC operated the old legacy CLRV and the ALRV streetcars on the Toronto streets. Those are retired in the past couple years, with the last ones, some of them ending up in museums. I know a private individual acquired one and now has it at his family's farm.
Yeah, I read about that.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, those streetcars were very emblematic. They had a very unique look to them. And even in the most recent, I think it was a Becoming Red Pixar movie that was set in Toronto, you would see them even making an appearance in the movie, despite them having been retired several years prior. So they're very much a big image of the city. They had this mystique about them. They were small, compact, operating very frequently. You know, they had the little trolley pole to pick up the power from the wires above. Mm. But it, despite being somewhat old, it still had a relatively modern look to it, in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see it running up and down the streets, again, King Street, it just had, like, a really, you know, like, every time you'd see one, it would just really pop. It was not like an eyesore. You know, sometimes you see buses or you see things like that, and it's like, oh, it just ruins, like, the shot or the picture, the image that you're looking at when you're looking at the, but these just really stood out. They were very picture friendly in the picture, you know, like if you saw one of those in the CN Tower in the back, there was no doubting where you were. How would you classify the previous rolling stock? What made them special to you?
So for our listeners who are not so familiar with certain abbreviations, especially when it comes to our streetcars, CLRV refers to our previous fleet of streetcars and stands for Canadian Light Rail Vehicle. And the A version stands for articulated. You think of it as, like, the longer version, hence articulated. And so, yeah, like, I very much agree with your observations. Our CLRVs had a very distinctive look. I agree in how sleek they look. They're very much kind of like a curved body, and just in terms of how they, just like the front part of the streetcar, a very distinctive look, and is very much used in art that people would make in the city, which they would feature it very much so. The colors were very simple, like red and gray and black, really made them stand out. And I will say, as somebody who rode the CLRV streetcars a lot in my childhood, I was a big fan. I really liked the chime. It had a very distinctive tone, and I thought it was a really cheerful tone, actually. And actually, I also liked the sound of the streetcars as they traveled, as they passed by, because you knew that a streetcar was on the road because of the distinctive rumble it made on the tracks. And so I just think of, like, the first apartment I lived in after moving out. My parents' place actually was next to one of the streetcar lines, and, like, say at night, for example, I would hear like the rumble of the streetcar going by, and I thought it was actually a very soothing sound. Other aspects of the CLRVs, I think, you know, I think you mentioned they're like a compact design. Yeah, you could definitely fit a lot of people in these streetcars. Like the crush load was actually pretty impressive, especially during rush hour on certain routes, like on the Queen car. But otherwise, I think that how they configured like the seating arrangement, I thought made sense. All the seats were front facing, and they had them grouped into like pairs of seats, and then you had like a row of like single seats along like the left side of the car. So if you were lucky, you could snag like a single seat. You wouldn't have to share the space with another person. And they were right next to the left side windows as well. So my favorite seat was actually like the last seat in that row next to what I called the picture window, because it was the biggest window and it didn't have, it wasn't split into sections like all the other windows. And so it basically gave you a really nice view of the streetscape as you're traveling along. When I think Toronto, and I would say for others as well, and when they think Toronto streetcars, they think the CLRVs, just because I don't think there are streetcars that look like that anywhere else. I'm pretty sure the CLRVs were built specifically for Toronto. And so they were never replicated anywhere else, which is pretty cool. They did have their issues, however. They were not accessible, in that you can only get on and off using the stairs. So people using wheelchairs or mobility devices, for the folks who are able to actually use like walkers or whatever, they could like carry them onto the streetcar, but anyone else who was very much bound to their device was not able to use the streetcars. I think of parents using strollers is definitely a struggle, when you count on like the goodwill of other riders to help get strollers on and off the streetcars. So they did have their issues, and also they didn't have air conditioning in the summertime. Could be very uncomfortable, especially if they were full of riders. And in the winter, with our winters, because we get a lot of snow, sometimes the doors would jam into snowbanks because of the way our streets are plowed, and so they end up creating like these huge snowbanks of snow like right at the curb of the street. And if the streetcar stop happened to be like right there, then sometimes the doors would get jammed and then the driver would have to come out and like unjam the door. And so yeah, the old CLRVs were great, very much emblematic of the TDC, and were really fun to ride, but they had their issues. And I think they served, they put in their years of service, and when they're finally retired, I was definitely sad. But I was always also happy to, move on to our current fleet of streetcars, which I suppose we'll be talking about as well.
Yep, that's the next point we're going to make. So the past 10 years saw a modernization and a radical change to the streetcar system, in that the CLRV, the LRV were retired, and the new Bombardier Flexity Outlook was introduced. And these are, I would say, about 2.5 times the length, or maybe even a little longer, 2.5 to 3 times the length of the old CLRV. So they definitely have a much higher capacity, and they're completely low floor. So people with mobility devices or aids are able to get on more easily. It probably also makes for a quicker boarding and alighting of the vehicle, because there's less stairs, so people can just walk on and off more easily. But what's also interesting with these is that they're, and I found it actually kind of funny when I first got in one the first time, there's a vending machine inside to buy your ticket, which was really surprising to me. Usually you think of, when you get on, you either go through fare gates, if it's a major rail line, or there's a fare box at the front of a bus. But this actually had a vending machine right in the middle, which I was a little surprised to see. So let's talk a little bit about the Bombardier trains. Obviously, they have a new look, longer, bigger windows, air conditioning, which is important, low floor. I've never seen the ramp deployed, but I'm assuming they have a little ramp that can come out like the buses to help people with mobility aids get on. And just more comfortable, brighter. How do they come off to you?
Here's my impressions of the Bombardier Flexity streetcars, which we now have as our streetcars in Toronto. My initial impressions, I think, reminded me of Wales, just because they had a super sleek design and it was all like smooth curves. Whereas the CLRVs, had a distinctive design that had like more kind of like details and nooks, I suppose. It made for a very like still sleek, but you know, still kind of like old school looking. Our current streetcars are very sleek and basically look like most LRT or light rail transit vehicles in other cities around the world, because Bombardier obviously makes these vehicles for other transit systems. And so, yeah, like you said, like Kyle, I mentioned, they basically corrected the previous issues with our older streetcars. So they have air conditioning. They are very comfortable to ride in the summer as a result. I'm sure many riders appreciate having that kind of respite from our really muggy summers. Like you mentioned, they are fully accessible in that there's no steps to get on. It's just like a bit of a, I guess, ramp, I guess. You can just step on as opposed to like having to go up steps. For anyone using mobility devices, there is a button on both the outside and the inside of the streetcar that you press, and then that gives a signal to the driver to come out and activate the additional accessibility ramp. So if you think about, I'm just trying to describe this in a way that people can visualize. There is a gap between the streetcar and the road. And so for those of us who, you know, do not require devices to get around, it's an easy just step up, right? It's a few inches. For anyone else, though, it requires the deployment of this additional accessibility ramp, which slides out of the bottom of the streetcar, and it's only at the second set of doors. So people know to wait at, you know, where the second set of doors might be, or they just, it's also where one can park your device as well, because the seats there are like what I call the jump seats, and that they fold up and they're marked as blue to indicate accessible. And so the streetcar driver comes out, engages the ramp, which allows the person using like a wheelchair, for example, or scooter to scoot up the ramp and get onto the streetcar. And then when they want to get off the streetcar, they do the same thing. They press the button and then process goes in reverse. Again, the driver comes out, they engage ramp, the person gets off. It does take a little bit of time to do so, but I would say maybe it adds like 10-15 seconds. So to me, it's not that big of a deal. And if it means that more people can use the streetcar, then why the hell not? In terms of other features, I think I've noticed as well that the current like Flexities are also, I guess, a smoother ride, probably due to updated technology and just how they're built. I always, I guess, preferred streetcars just because of the smoother ride in comparison to buses, because the buses, you can feel everything. And because they have to share the road as cars, you feel potholes, which are not fun. Whereas the streetcars, they're on rails. So you can be assured that the ride will be smooth throughout. I would say the seating arrangement, and this is a sentiment that was shared by other riders, like especially in like the back sections of the streetcars, they group them in like pods of four. And so you have two seats that face the front and then two seats that face the back. Now, to me, that's not the best kind of seating arrangement. If I generally prefer standing as opposed to sitting in one of those seats. If you're traveling with a group of people, you know it's not that big of a deal. But say you have to kind of like squeeze in with a bunch of strangers, it's, you know, there's not that much leg room. And I think of like taller people as well. That might not be the most comfortable seating. And so details like that. And I realize it's probably so they made more sense in terms of how many seats they can fit in and just having to accommodate whatever equipment, I guess, on the floor of the vehicle there is. Overall, I do like our current streetcars. I think they make for a much more comfortable ride. They enable, obviously have much greater capacity of riders. And honestly, during rush hour, the experience, I would say, is a bit better in the summer just because there's air conditioning. I mean, you may be squeezed close with your fellow riders, but at least there's air conditioning. So there's that. And again, because it is that much, the capacity is that much bigger, it means people are better able to like spread out a bit. And so, yeah, like our current streetcars are great. I've had friends visit from out of town who love riding them. And so I assume other people appreciate them too. So, yeah.
The mystique of the streetcar system, seeing them going up and down the streets, coming underneath at Union Station, going by the harbor front, when they come out from the underground portion from Union, it's very interesting to see them plying the streets. But when you get to the downtown part again, Queen Street, King Street, it's very interesting to see how the streetcars stop in what would be the inside lane rather than the outside next to the curb. And so they do have signs, you know, for cars that are driving in the right-hand lane to be careful if the doors are open or people could be getting on and off. How does that feel? Because obviously it's different. And for people that aren't familiar with Toronto, I mean, when you ride a bus, you're used to getting off and the curb or the sidewalk is right there. But in this case, there's actually an active lane of traffic for the most part where you get out. And if you're not really looking or paying attention or being aware of your surroundings, it can be quite surprising or a little startling. So how does that feel? And how do drivers and the riders sort of interact in those points?
Well, I mean, now we get into the topic of rider safety, which is very important. For any regular transit rider in Toronto, especially for those taking streetcars, they know that when they are exiting for the most part, but sometimes entering, that they have to look right when they're exiting just to make sure oncoming traffic stops. For the most part, drivers in Toronto are good. They're used to streetcars. They know they're supposed to stop behind a streetcar and not try to zoom past like the rear of the streetcar, especially if it's stopped at a stop. There's lights too that blink. I don't think they're obvious enough though. Most drivers are good about that. So you have the odd drivers who honestly are not paying attention, and these days there's a lot more of like distracted driving, who end up stopping a bit further ahead than they should, and so they end up kind of getting in the way of riders as they get off. And then you have the drivers who are completely oblivious or just don't care and blow past a streetcar when it's stopped and like riders are just about to get off. In that case, you will definitely hear the streetcar driver really like use the horn and make it really obvious to the driver. It's like, yeah, you know, no, big no. Yes. So Toronto drivers, I personally find them, yeah, generally they're okay, but for the bad drivers that exist, they can be really bad. And we have had incidents of riders who've been hit by cars. So yeah, it does, you know, give you kind of like an extra sense of like caution, obviously. I mean, when you're a transit rider, you should always be paying attention. And just make sure you're aware of your surroundings, and just make sure, especially when you're getting on and off streetcars, that the path is clear, that any cars are stopped. I personally sometimes like stare down drivers as they're approaching, just to make sure they're stopping, and just to make it really obvious that it's like, yes, I am here, I'm about to get off or get on the streetcar, you are supposed to be stopping. But I have noticed that not everyone pays attention, or they just have some sort of blind faith that cars will just stop, which is like, no. That's why it's, yeah, you gotta make sure you're not using your phone or like, you know, really blasting music like loud in your headphones or whatever, and just be paying attention. It's what you should be doing regardless of where in the system you're traveling when you're taking transit. And so, yeah, like, rider safety, we do have the odd incidents, unfortunately, of people getting injured while they're taking transit. And more often than not, it's because of distracted drivers. Right? And that's just something where I think there should be better public education about. For anyone who learns how to drive in Toronto, I assume they are taught that you are supposed to stop at streetcars that are stopped. But I can also understand how people just forget these little details. And so, yeah, I call it being like an offensive pedestrian / rider. You know, these are little tips that you pick up the longer you take transit in Toronto. But yeah, like, I, with all this said though, taking transit in Toronto is safe. And, you know, I very much encourage people to take transit, not be afraid of taking transit. But, you know, you just got to be careful and just be aware of your surroundings, like anything else.
Now, just to contrast, streets that operate like that, which is probably the majority on Spadina, for example, it operates in its own little dedicated corridor, sort of, let's say, in the median of the traffic lanes. It has side platforms, and it operates more like a LRT kind of system. So there's the two different ways of how it works. So I want to move on now to how the streetcars in Toronto endure as our last little point of discussion. In the city of Ottawa, we had streetcars as well, and those were eventually retired in the late 1950s. And it was only until 2019 where we actually had rail-based transit return through the downtown. Although we did have the Trillium line in 2001, but, you know, electric based rail operations returned in 2019 with the opening of the O-Train Line 1 Confederation Line. A lot of other cities have that had streetcars in the past have removed them. Some of them switched to buses. Some of them have expansive rail, heavy rail transit system, but it continues to be a major part of Toronto. We see it all over. We see new fleets coming on in Toronto with the Bombardier. Why do streetcars endure, and what do you think is the future of them in Toronto?
So like I mentioned earlier, Toronto streetcars are very much part of the fabric of the city, and I and other riders, I would expect, definitely feel a sense of pride. So much so that in 1972, a citizen group banded together and organized to protest the possible decommissioning of streetcars, because the city council at the time was considering that. And, you know, in the 60s, 70s, I think, is when a lot of cities in North America were decommissioning their streetcars and switching over to buses. I had read that the car companies like GM were kind of, you know, influenced these decisions just because they also made buses, and it was part of their business interest to put more buses on the roads. But cities at the time were also expanding their highways. road networks and were really obsessed with cars and basically wanted to make priority for cars, which I think was very misguided. In Toronto in the 70s, we did have, I would say, it was a really good period for civic engagement and just people organizing and really defending Toronto. It was also the same period of Jane Jacobs, well-known urban thinker, who was part of a group of citizens who stopped the building in Spadina Expressway and that they wanted to like build a highway that cut through basically the core of Toronto. And so, yeah, like a different group of citizens, when they found out that the city had wanted to remove the streetcar system, were like, no, and came together and convinced the city council at the time to keep the streetcars. I'm not so familiar with the history, but Steve Monroe, who's a well-known transit advocate writer in Toronto, he was actually part of that group. And so he was part of it during his university years, I believe. And so he'd be able to tell you more. He has stories, I'm sure. So from that, I think is an indication of how much we really value our streetcars. I think more so than other cities. And you see that people are willing to fight to keep them. You think of streetcars, they have high capacity, much more so than buses. For our streetcars that run on their own right-of-ways, you know, I'd say they travel pretty quickly, especially during rush hour. And like, if you're in a car, you're not really moving very much from the streetcar, just zipping by. You know, for the rest of our streetcar lines who unfortunately have to share space with the roads, it's a little different. But like, you know, for anyone who relies on transit, I would say taking streetcars generally a comfortable ride, though I would say if you need to go anywhere and be there at a certain time, streetcars may not be the best way of getting there. Streetcars are very beloved in Toronto. People are willing to fight for them, and good on the TTC and the City of Toronto for deciding that, yes, we agree, we will devote money and resources to maintaining our fleet of streetcars. And I think that's great because we went against the trend of other cities just removing their streetcar lines. And we see, I guess, more recently in like the last 10, 15 years, other cities reintroducing streetcars or building LRTs, which I think is great. I think having like light rail transit and just like high speed, like surface transit, you know, build them anywhere you can, right? Just to give people options and just, you know, take the load off of our subway system. In terms of how I see our streetcar system in the future, well, it certainly isn't going anywhere. The fact that we've upgraded our fleet to the Flexities, you know, I think they have a really commanding presence on the streets. I think anyone who visits Toronto who takes the streetcars, you know, I hope has a very positive experience. And for daily riders as well, plenty of them take our streetcars for granted. But if you ask them, you know, I would hope that they would say they have a very positive impression of our streetcars and would, you know, perhaps miss them if they disappeared one day. And, you know, I would certainly fight to preserve our streetcars because I think they are essential. And in some ways, they work better than buses, honestly, just because of the higher capacity and, like, the higher speeds and the comfortable ride. Those are the things that you can't really replicate with buses. Buses obviously have their strengths. They're also an essential part of our transit system. And especially for people living in the suburban areas of Toronto, very much rely on our extensive bus system, which I'm also proud of because it does cover a huge swath of the city. But yeah, in terms of like the future, I would hope that, you know, TTC continues to put time, resources into maintaining our streetcars, buying more streetcars so that there's enough to go around. I will say that currently a few streetcar lines have buses running on them because of various construction projects, but also because we don't have quite enough streetcars, which, you know, I think should be worked on. And, you know, down the road when the Flexities, you know, reach their end of service, I would hope they're replaced with something cooler as well, and that our streetcar system just continues to run steadily into the future for, you know, other generations of transit riders to enjoy as well.
I guess that concludes our discussion today on the Toronto streetcar system. Thank you very much, Helen, for sharing your thoughts, your opinions, and your passion for the transit in Toronto with us today. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me. This was really fun.
Thank you.